312-335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We have been in a study on the kingdom of the kings. The kingdom of the kings. It's important for us to understand our spiritual positioning. And if I could, I'd go all the way back to our first message in this series, but we've established the fact, the truth that God has called us to be kings. And we've talked about what that looks like in real time, what that means to us in this generation. And so today we're going to talk about what I've entitled the kingdom authority. Kingdom authority. Now, our last message in this series had to do with the mind of a king. And let me just go over some of the points as we segue into this message. But the first thing that we want to look at is the fact that a person who cannot change his thinking can never change his life. Amen. You know, people dress up, they change geographical locations, jobs, do a lot of different things in order to change. Even some people that are so frustrated on their job and in their home, they go on a vacation. But they forget they took themselves on that vacation. So that same frustrated person is out there on the beach now, frustrated. Unless you can change the way you think. Amen? If you can't change the way you think, you can never change your life. You'll just get some relief and go right back into the same cycles. So thoughts are what shape our lives. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is the man. As a man thinks, so is he. So now we, being a royal priesthood or a kingly priesthood, we as kings must learn how to think like kings. Amen? Amen? If you learn how to think like a king, and when I say kings, I'm not segregating against queens. I'm talking about everybody. When we talk about sons, we're not just talking about the male part. We're talking about everyone. All of us are sons, okay? Even though we're sons and daughters. Okay, so when we talk about kings, we're talking about everyone. When we start to think like kings, then we will begin to act like kings. Let me say it again. When we start to think like kings, then we will begin to act like kings. See, if you're a person, you think one way, but you are acting another way, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're what is called or known as a hypocrite.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we want to start thinking. Tell somebody, think like a king. Now, the thing about a king is that kings think differently. Amen. I used the example in our first service of, and I won't call it a victim of this, but, you know, growing up, I wasn't always good at color. Even though I'm a kind of a neat, tidy type of person, I wasn't always the one that colored inside the lines. Amen. Amen. You mean you have children that don't color inside the lines? You might be one right now. You don't color inside the lines. I'm not talking about a rebel without a cause. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a person that's just, they think differently. We have to start thinking. Once we start thinking in a certain way, then our actions and our deeds will follow. Amen. They will follow. As a man thinketh, so is he. But the real challenge is in arresting and bringing our thoughts captive. Okay, so my endeavor is to show you in the Word of God, not just some philosophical hyped theory, but in the Word of God that we are indeed called to be kings. Amen. Not just in the sweet by and by when Jesus comes back and sets up the millennial kingdom, but right now. Amen. Are you ready for this journey?
Amen.
Okay, so kings think differently. Kings hold the keys of authority. Kings hold the keys of authority. Now, Jesus, when speaking to his disciples, he said, "I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Then he went on to say, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So he gave to the disciples keys. All right? Now, these keys that he gave to the church or the disciples represent authority, kingdom authority, keys. Anybody have a set of keys on them that I can use momentarily just as a little visual? If these were my keys, these are elders' keys, but if these were my keys, I have authority to open up some things or to lock down some things that you don't have authority to do it. Because I have the keys. You have a house key. You have a key to your car. You have a key to whatever, a locker at your job or doors at your job. You know, a janitor, though his position in the eyes of many might be lowly, he usually has keys to everything. Amen. You know, you get locked out and say, what a janitor at? you go get him, he has a master key. Because he has authority to go into any room. Well, see, Jesus said, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Whatever you bind or whatever you lock is locked. Whatever you open or loose is loosed." See, there are some doors, and I don't mean that we are fleshly or carnal, because as we look into this deeper, the kingdom is here, but is here without observation. In other words, even Jesus' disciples at one time was looking for him to become or to make him king. In the book of John, when all the people were swarming around him and they were chanting and shouting, "Make him the king, make him the king." And the disciples got caught up in that. And they wanted him to become a natural, carnal king. And he sent them away. He sent all the multitude away, got angry with his disciples and sent them away too. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my disciples would fight." Amen. Now listen, his kingdom is not of this world, but it's in this world. Amen. It's not like the kingdom of Jordan or the kingdoms of the Middle East or the kingdoms in Asia. You know, the dynasties of ancient China. Those are natural kingdoms. His kingdom is here, but as we'll read, his kingdom has come without observation. See, Jesus himself was the king of the kings. But what he did while he was here setting up his kingdom in the realm of the spirit, he made himself of no reputation. They thought he was just the lowly carpenter. But he was the king. Do you understand? So the kingdom has come. The Pharisees were deriding him and questioning him and badgering him to say things. And he said, "The kingdom of God cometh without observation. For the kingdom of God is within you. It's among you, but it's within some of us." How many know when we got born again and Holy Spirit came into us, he brought the kingdom into us. We are children of a kingdom. Amen. Amen. We are not just in the world. We are in it, but we are not of it. We have been born from above. A kingdom that is far superior to the kingdom of this world. Amen. To the systems of this world. To the governments of this world. How many know As a matter of fact, one of the severest judgments God can bring on a nation is when leadership goes awry, amen. When leadership is all whack. Do you know, in our leadership, and no, I don't mean to sound critical of the office, because, you know, you always honor the office of president, you honor the office of all these magistrates and that, but people in the positions don't seem to have any sense. Amen. Amen. Say amen, lights. Amen. I'm not the only one. I'm not being critical of the person. It's just a judgment from God. Whenever you allow stuff to come in, and you light up the White House in rainbow colors, and you honor all of this. See, it sounds good to the humanitarian to equal rights and all that stuff, but let's not let that be our gauge. Let the Bible be the gauge. Let this determine what direction we are going in, and not just the world system. You know, there's all kind of economic sanctions and penalties they'll put on even a state for standing firm on what they believe in relation to the truth versus being liberal. Oh, we're the oddball now. No. The world has become the oddball. God created stuff in the beginning, and the world has taken it and twisted it all up to make it look like they want it to look. And now we are wrong for standing on the word. Well, tell somebody, I'm just going to have to be wrong then. You know how the song say, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Hey, it's the truth. It's a time where saints have to take a stand. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their life. Even in the face of death, you'd be surprised how God will move for you when you stand for him. He moved where some lions lost their appetite. Because Daniel said he moved where the fire didn't burn somebody. How many know fire burns? But the fire didn't burn the boys because they stood on their ground. Tell me what God won't do for you if you'll do for him. And it's time for the church, the sleeping giant, to arise to her position of authority and say, for God we live. We are ambassadors. We represent a kingdom that cannot be shaken. All the others are going to shake. You see it now. All the other kingdoms are shaken. All the other domains are being shaken. It seems like people can't figure stuff out. Decisions they make, they plug up a hole here and a hole opens up over there. They don't know what to do. God's taken the wisdom from them. The blind are leading the blind. They're groping in the dark. That's why we need people in politics.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.